This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes on this Friday, the 11th of March. It is 12:06 here in the studio. I'm Rich Bradbury, and I'm finally joined in the studio by...
Audrey Raj.
It's been 2 years since we've been in this room on air together.
A little bit more than 2 years.
Oh, you've been adding it up, have you?
Yes, I have.
How long has it been?
Just over 2 years, yeah.
I thought it was about 2 years ago that was the last weekend of our quote-unquote normal life before things changed, right?
Where we said goodbye and we thought we'd see each other in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks' time,
and then it never happened, yeah.
Well, and yet here we are, ladies and gents, and we are talking to you today on Enterprise BizBytes about co-working spaces. Somewhat. As flexible working arrangements become more entrenched in today's workplace, co-working space firms are seeing an opportunity for them to be the real estate solution provider for companies.
Mm. Yeah.
I think we spoke about this pre-pandemic, you know, Auds.
Yes, we did.
Now, coming out of the pandemic, businesses are generally looking to reconfigure their workforce and workspace needs, and some may opt to leverage co-working spaces rather than manage their own offices, depending on how fancy they are. Co-working spaces providers are already experiencing an uptick in business and are looking to expand their footprint. Recently, it was reported that Colony Space Asia have signed a 6-year co-working space with Malaysia's first tech unicorn, Carsum, involving 41,860 square feet of office space across 4 floors of KYM Towers in Mutiara Damansara.
Not so far from us.
Not so far. And Johor-based Infinity 8, who I spoke with just yesterday, on Open for Business, expanded into the Klang Valley with an 11,000 square foot outlet in my town in KL to seize the growing demand here.
Yeah. Now, Works co-founder and CEO Stephanie Ping, who we'll be hearing more from after the break, pointed out that the work trend now no longer just differentiates between working from home and working from an office. It's now called distributed work, right? Instead, it calls for more flexibility and many are opting for hybrid work arrangements. And because of this, there are definitely still demands for flexible workspaces or co-working spaces in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And here's a quote. She says, with the flexible nature of working, companies are also seeing this as an option for business continuity and business sustainability. This gives advantages to the players in the market as it is still a fairly large untapped market for co-working spaces in Malaysia.
And for sure, this is a different scenario from 2 years ago when the lockdowns were first imposed to contain the spread of COVID-19. Li Xie Liang, the co-founder and chief executive officer of Infinity 8, notes that the take-up rate at its outlets was affected during the first movement control order in March 2020 and continued to fluctuate with the different reimposition of movement restrictions. However, demand has started to stabilise as more companies become adept at navigating through the pandemic. In fact, take-up rate has grown in comparison to pre-pandemic times as flexible space becomes more sought after. And to date, most of Infinity 8's branches are enjoying about 85 to 95% occupancy.
That's quite good, actually. Uh-huh. Now, while space expansion took a backseat for work during the pandemic, it ventured into the digital community space through the launch of its Spark app, that's spelled S-P-A-R-Q, just like work is spelled with a Q, which enabled people to connect, meet and collaborate virtually. A key appeal that co-working spaces offered entrepreneurs and startups before this whole lockdown, right? And MCO and COVID and everything. So Stephanie says that Work achieved a 45% growth in both internal and the wider community last year through a series of virtual events, collaborations and outreach activities where businesses could leverage and support one another. But with physical space coming back into vogue, she says, the company's cautious approach over the past year will enable it to grow further. Mm-hmm. Here's another quote. With organizations rethinking the definition of office space and are seriously considering pivoting to a more flexible working environment, we are already seeing a steady increase of active inquiries and interest in engaging co-working spaces as their real estate provider. Now, because there is so much potential in the flexi space market, Stephanie Ping says property developers are also also increasingly integrating co-working spaces into their township planning. Some may dedicate common areas in high-rise projects as a workspace for residents and market it as part of their available facilities.
Okay. Given the growing prospects, co-working operators, both international and local, are mushrooming, you might say, here in Malaysia. Whilst this may mean added competition in the market, Ping says each player has its unique selling point and appeals to various target audiences. However, she does note that the industry has also seen quite a few players let go of some of their spaces in the face of occupancy challenges over the last 2 years.
Sure.
Following that, the industry is currently going through some consolidation as weaker Tier 2 local players are being forced to downsize.
Yeah, and with demand for co-working spaces increasing in prominence, operators are seeing a good mix of startups, your SMEs, MNCs, and even gig workers in their customer base now. And this will mean better diversification strategies for operators and perhaps enable better sustainability moving forward. And Lee says that, and here's another quote, "The lessons that we have learned through this pandemic is that the only thing that's certain is that the market will constantly evolve and in a speedier manner due to the push brought about by the pandemic. What used to be relevant months ago might very well be obsolete now. And so we have been guided by the principle of business diversification, but ensuring that it still revolves around our core competency. This is what has guided us to sail through this pandemic."
All very interesting stuff. And I have to admit, when I spoke with Infinity 8 and I spoke with a few of the co-working spaces over the last few months, I genuinely thought that the co-working space kind of idea was going to fade off and have real issues.
Yeah, since everyone's already like working from home, and you know, we've all kind of invested in what we need in order to do that.
And I expected people to be fearful about gathering in smaller office spaces, but it seems as though the opposite is actually true. Like it says, they're mushrooming.
I've also spoken to some not just co-working spaces, but people who manage workspace environments and designing and conceptualizing the new way to work, right? And some of the experts have said that, you know, what we've seen with co-working spaces and having more desks now is going to be more meeting rooms, collaborative spaces, places where they can, you know, intentionally have those water cooler conversations. And that's going to be the way forward, because people can work from home today, you know, and so if you need a hot desk, you can just have that at home, or there's also work from hotels for, for more privacy and things like that. So co-working spaces, there may be a change in the way we do it, but there's still just new ways to go at it.
Right. For more information on the state of the co-working space here in Malaysia, we'll be hearing from Work co-founder and CEO, Stephanie Ping herself. She's on the line after the break. And if you've got any input for this, get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. You can get us on Twitter if you'd like. It's at BFM Radio as well. We're going to take a short break with some music from U2 with The Sweetest Thing. We'll be right back after these messages here on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Audrey Raj.
If you have anything you want to speak to us about, or send us a message, or make us feel as though, you know, we're not talking to an empty room. I'm just having a bit of a joke with you folks. Of course, it is Friday. One of those days. It's the 11th of March. It's 12:18 here in the studio, and we are talking about co-working spaces, I guess.
Yes.
You know, as flexible working arrangements become more entrenched in today's workplace, co-working space firms are seeing an opportunity for them to be the real estate solution provider for companies, especially for those companies that have spent an awful lot of money on their business and in their offices. And a lot of these offices are having to close down because rental prices are going crazy and they don't need all that much space. They're now realizing this. But don't listen to just our opinion, of course. We wanted to get an expert's opinion of this. Who did we manage to get on the phone, Woods?
We have on the line with us right now Stephanie Ping. She is the co-founder and CEO of Work.
Let's get on straight away, Stephanie. What has the co-working landscape looked like over the course of the pandemic?
Basically, companies over the course of the pandemic and now are really evaluating their requirements for real estate. During the pandemic, many of the companies have been working from home. And many of them have handled it quite well. And now a lot of them are moving towards a hybrid work style, where, you know, some of them would be implementing work from home, or work from anywhere, some parts of the week. So what we see is that the customers are giving up their traditional office spaces and really efficientizing the way that they use their real estate, which invariably leads to cost savings for them and also an ability to give their teams a better way to work. So, for example, some companies would evaluate, like, really, you know, some of their teams that are more suited could be having work from home for some parts of the week and having a flexible offices work style and a network of offices for these teams to use when they need to is a great way to kind of fulfill their needs. So sometimes if you're working from home, for example, you may need an infrastructure or an office near you that enables you to work productively, meeting rooms, for example. You might need printers and that kind of thing. And in order to give your teams a network of offices for them to work nearer to their homes, it's much more efficient to use flexible offices with a network of locations rather than to build all these many locations for your team. So companies that work from home a lot, they also find that they need space for collaborative work. You know, things like training, things like team building, things like coaching. It's quite hard to do it over Zoom or something like that. So they will be using flexible spaces and co-working spaces for this. Without which, you know, it would be rather hard to engage with their team. So I would say that companies are using flexible offices as a complement to their core office. So their HQ will be downsized by quite a lot, but then they still have need for actually their growing teams to utilize spaces, of which a network co-working spaces is a great way for them to quickly give the spaces at a drop of a hat to their requirements if it's growing very fast or if it's scaling down at a certain point, maybe during, you know, another MCO or something like that. And they would be able to give this flexibility to all their teams and to plan their headcount very easily with a flexible style of working with flex offices and co-working spaces. So what we see, therefore, is an uptick of enterprises and MNCs using co-working spaces, flex offices, to provide many locations for all their teams. And these have actually been going on hybrid work style for quite a while in other countries. And we see this structural change happening in Malaysia very quickly post-pandemic.
Hmm. Now, Stephanie, studies have shown that, you know, at least 80-90% of organizations are working in some form of hybrid work arrangement. So what are the pros of co-working, you know, in terms of hybrid or remote working?
In terms of the pros, it's really threefold, right? It's very fast, it's very inexpensive, and it's available everywhere. Basically, in terms of quickness, you can deploy spaces for your teams a lot faster with a flex space than if you were to, say, build a space on your own or use traditional leases. Just because, you know, when you need, for example, what we are seeing now, people needing 50 packs at any given time, next month, next week, or so forth, they can come to us and they can just say, hey, I need a space this amount and I kind of need it very, very soon, and we can accommodate that. Or, you know, when they actually need to scale back down at a given time, let's say a few months later, they can scale back down and give it up and enjoy that kind of flexibility to increase their team size or decrease their team size, increase their usage or decrease whenever they want. So it's a very quick response to your needs as a company, as opposed to locking you in and requiring you to plan far ahead in advance when sometimes you just don't know what your plan is going to be, especially in a post-pandemic world. The second pro is that it's very cost efficient. Cost wise, you really only pay for what you need at any given time. And you know, when you scale your team, you know, that's what you will be paying for. And then when you reduce your team size or your headcount, you are also, you know, giving the space up and therefore reducing your cost by that amount. So, you know, it beats really, you know, having to pre-build a space or, you know, building a space of your own or entering into lease whereby you lock yourself into the cost for the next few years. And not just that, on top of that, if you have already paid for the renovation, you will be incurring some cost when you move out. You know, even though you'd save on the rental of a traditional lease, your renovation cost would have already been incurred by that point. In terms of, you know, it being available everywhere for your team to use, you really can't beat a network of spaces versus just having one, say, HQ. And that's why we see a lot of companies using our spaces as a complement network to their HQ. Having a lot of network spaces is a great way to deploy your team in the most convenient and productive locations for them. Sometimes it's nearer to their homes, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's nearer to their customers, their partners. Sometimes it's on the other side of town where they have to go to do something over there. And having all these conveniences all over town for them to access is a very powerful way for them to work, so that they can be where they need to be, have that infrastructure with them, meet who they need to meet there, and really be connecting with whoever that they need to connect, their stakeholders, anytime and anywhere.
Okay, so you just spoken about, you know, connections and networking and one thing or another. Can you give us some of the other possible cons of co-working moving into a post-pandemic workplace?
Yeah, one of the challenges of working from home, of course, is that employee engagement will be something that companies have to really look into. Working entirely online, it will reduce employee engagement and connections and the human element at the end of the day. So, you know, if your team is working and connecting only on Zoom, they don't see each other, the vibe cannot be built. That's why for companies that do hybrid working, we recommend that they have, you know, in-person meetings, team building, training, coaching, and so forth. That has to be done in person. And these things will still keep their teams very engaged. While certain times when the team needs to go off to do quiet work, they have that capability and ability as well. Also from our co-working spaces where we have, you know, quiet areas for people to have very focused work. So this kind of a hybrid work style where as and when you need to work in certain ways, you know, times when you need to collaborate, you're together, times when you need really focused work, you are in a quiet corner. This keeps a company's productivity very high, as well as when people come together, they can continue to build a company culture. Companies are really utilizing technology post-pandemic very well. WhatsApp, Zoom, Asana, Slack, and so forth. And they're also, you know, the ones that are very successful, we see they're coming together to work, to engage, and to build camaraderie. And if, you know, you can harness your IT and your technology, very well, and at the same time, really put importance in the human aspect, then we see that these companies are the ones that coming out of the pandemic really thriving and really overcoming many of their challenges, because they have the best of both worlds in terms of tools to build a company that has both productivity and efficiency with the help of technology, and yet have the human element in place to really thrive and, you know, service their customers and their markets and stakeholders in the best possible way.
Wonderful. Thanks, Stephanie. But do stay on the line for us. We've got a bunch more questions we want to ask you just after the break. We have to take a break. Ords, tell people how they can get in touch and let us know if they have any questions.
Yes. 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter. At BFM Radio is our handle. We're talking about co-working spaces as we transition into this endemic. Will you be continuing to work from a co-working space? Have you in the past few months as well? What do you think about the new setup? What would you like from a co-working space as well? 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, also on Twitter at BFM Radio. We'll be back in just a few. Oh, we have some music from Bryan Adams in the meantime. But stay tuned. You are listening to Enterprise BizBytes, BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury and I'm in the studio with
Audrey Raj.
We've been speaking with Stephanie Ping. She is the co-founder and CEO of Work. And the reason we've been speaking to her is because as flexible working arrangements become more entrenched in today's workplace, co-working space firms are seeing an opportunity for them to be the real estate solution provider for companies. If you have any thoughts on this, let us know via WhatsApp 018 789 8899. Twitter is at BFM Radio.
Stephanie, thank you for staying on the line with us. Now, let's talk about, you know, what organizations can do to kind of incorporate co-working spaces as well in how they allow their workforce to work. Now, what are some solutions from the co-working world that any organization could incorporate into making their post-pandemic workflow smoother?
Pre-pandemic, actually, a lot of companies that are technology companies and startups have been using flex spaces and co-working spaces entirely as their primary office mode. Right? You'll see companies that are scaling to a few thousand of workforces really fast, and they're still using co-working spaces. Why? It's because it's very convenient and it's very easy and very fast, and it moves as fast as them. Now, post-pandemic, we could see that a lot of companies are also catching on to this and saying, hey, you know, if we can see, you know, large companies that have a few thousand people or startups that are very fast moving using this whenever they need it, we can also do this. And it's a much more, agile way of working. In terms of, you know, companies that, for example, need things like BCP, Business Continuity Plan, is the best way to do it because you have spaces that are on demand and sort of like a space insurance for if something were to happen, let's say COVID, and you need to deploy your teams to other spaces. It's readily available and it's something that you don't have to maintain yourself until the time when you need it, and then you can actually activate it as a space insurance, and then your people can quickly go to these flexible spaces to use when something happens. The other thing also is that in terms of our enterprise solution, what we are seeing is that a lot of companies are wanting to think about workplace strategy, think about how they plan their flexible workforces, and think about how certain teams in a company can use a flexible hybrid work style in a much more efficient way. And that's what we help them plan and help them do for their future offices, where we actually, you know, custom build their offices for them. We give them flexibility to scale up and scale down, as we will also have a co-working space right next to them, as well as, you know, fund their capex of the offices and give them the cost savings from moving, you know, the expenses of their renovation into an OPEX expense as a monthly rental or membership cost to us. While not having to do the entire project themselves, and we take them, you know, from start to finish to plan how they're going to use their offices. And then on top of that, layer in all the usage of all our other co-working spaces all over town as an added benefit for their staff to use as well. So we see a lot of these companies whereby, you know, they used to have, you know, one location downtown or whatnot, 10 floors, and they are really like reducing their HQ space to maybe even, you know, 2 floors or even less. But they still have that amount of people working for them or even scaling their teams very rapidly. And we are redesigning the office spaces for them. We are, you know, like planning out how they work. And then we are also, you know, giving them on-demand spaces that makes it way more efficient and flexible as well as convenient.
One of the things that we have noticed during this period is there are some companies who, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know, and they have this issue about moving into going hybrid or even remote. And for businesses that are still hesitant about going hybrid or remote, how do you think we can help them or how can they overcome this reluctance?
I think one of the big things that a company would like to go remote but are unsure on how to do it is to really, do a bit of research or soul searching as to what are the teams in your companies or what departments in your companies can actually do that. Because what we see is that a lot of companies, you can't think of it as an entire whole when you plan for your hybrid workforce, because different departments will have different needs. Certain departments need to be in the office every single day of the week because that's how they work. And then certain departments, really, it's even better if they were to have some days working from home, to have some quiet work, to reduce commute time, to have some focused thinking time, and then come together certain days to sit together, to have that camaraderie, to have that, you know, water cooler moments in the office, which is very important as well. And, you know, having that mix gives the employees and the team their ultimate flexibility and productivity to on how they work. So different departments, you know, you might go starting from finance to HR to operations to marketing to branding and so forth, and really talk to your teams. They know how they work and they know how to tell you, you know, how they need to utilize the offices and in what way for them to perform the best work of their life. And I think by having this honest conversation with your teams, listening to what they say of their needs, you can really plan better. And we help a lot with that. We talk to MNC's teams, as well as we, you know, conduct surveys as well as findings. And from that, uncover what's the best way to consult our clients, our big company clients, small company clients, on how to implement flexible work styles with their team. So find very interesting things, like sometimes, you know, some teams voluntarily say they don't want to work from home at all because they need to be in the office. Some teams will say we only need one day a week. Right, some teams will say they can do hot desking or agile working, whereby they are not assigned a seat, and that's actually better because they find that they actually never use their dedicated space desk. They are working much more from the pantry or whatnot because they need that environment. With these conversations, if you were to do it in a systematic way, empathetic way, by survey and also complemented by in person talking to your teams. You know, you find that your teams give you the best data to know how to organize your workforce and moving forward, go into hybrid work mode, which will engage your employees more, give them the benefit, as well as increase the productivity of your team, which will, you know, it will be better for your companies. So that's how we help our clients in terms of our enterprise workspace product. And we've been seeing a lot of companies come to us to help them plan their workforce.
Right. Now, Stephanie, you know, we've been talking about sustainability now for over the last 3-4 years, and it's a big sticking point for many organizations. So from a sustainability point of view, where do co-working spaces fit in?
From a sustainability point of view, co-working spaces and flexible offices are a great way to support reduce commute to work, which is, you know, a great way to save on resources, a good way to work that would reduce, you know, carbon emissions from driving and that kind of thing. And it's a much more resource efficient way to work because there's a lot of sharing of the amenities and the offices and the things involved. So when people share all these resources and amenities and spaces, they're really not reusing the space to the most optimal allocation. And it's a very sustainable way of working. The other thing that people often don't think about is sharing of knowledge. When we each go through life and we learn all the things that we learn in school or in our work life and gaining experiences, as well as the connections that we have built, if we can share all of this with someone else in a work community, that person don't have to re-go through our entire work experience and life to get all the resources that we as one person have. So sharing of knowledge, sharing of resources, sharing of contacts is a very sustainable way to learn from each other and to produce things without having to incur additional costs. And this actually is a huge windfall for all our society if only they can just leverage off of each other. So in terms of co-working spaces, flexibility of office using culture, I would say that is an extremely big leap for sustainability, because there you are sharing, there you are caring, I guess, in a community of people. And then there you are reducing your carbon footprint by giving a number of network for your teams to use and allowing hybrid work style and working from home.
Mm.
Great stuff. Now, one final question then, I guess, before we wrap up and let you go. What are your predictions then for the co-working space in 2022 and beyond that? Where do you think it's going to take us?
Yeah, I think, you know, flexible spaces will just continue to be used more and more into the future. And we are actually still at the very beginning stages of this this structural shift in how people work. So, you know, GLL has already published research that the total market shift to flexible space demand will be up to 30% in the long run. And this means that, you know, 30% of all offices used will be in a flexible style. So in terms of us going along this path towards that end, you know, we can liken it to e-commerce, whereby, you know, in the beginning of e-commerce, very few people are buying things online, but it's, you know, definitely taking taking on by the masses in terms of, you know, the increase of usage being very fast every year. And then now you see it's really an integral part of our lives. And similarly with flexible work style, you know, people are starting to use it more and more, and the adoption is very fast. And one day it will be 30% of our lives. So, you know, we're very excited to see the market moving towards this future. And post-pandemic, I think it will be adopted even faster because now people really see that they can work, you know, remotely sometimes. They do have an experimental background now during the pandemic on how to move towards this flexible work style. And co-working spaces are going to be needed in order to support this change in the way people work, moving towards into the future for a better work life for everybody, as well as a more increased productivity and efficiency for companies in general.
Well, Stephanie, thanks so much for that. That, of course, was Stephanie Ping, the co-founder and CEO of Work, joining us on the phone. We have, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, time and time again, you know, like every other industry, like every other segment of the economy, you just learn how to evolve and find a new way to market yourself.
And if you need to, pivot.
Yeah.
Pivot.
Pivot.
Pivot. How many times did you say it in Friends? I don't know. Anyway, we're not going to go down that road. But folks, if you did miss any part of this show, excuse me, frog in my throat there, you can download the podcast. It will be available a little bit later on. You can get it from the BFM website, which is bfm.my, or download the app, which of course is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Don't go anywhere though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. When it comes to wages, many of us can agree that it should be increased. But the question that provokes intense debate is when and how. Should market forces dictate the quantum of our living, graduate and minimum wage, or should government policy get into a set direction? On the Breakfast Grill this morning, they were joined by Carmelo Felito of CME, and Zuhair Rosli of DM Analytics for a discussion on how much you should get paid. Me and Ord are going to talk about this off air.
This is an extended grill, and it was a really good one as well.
Yeah. Have yourselves a lovely weekend, folks. Of course, we'll be back here on Enterprise, same time, same place next week. On behalf of myself and Audrey, have yourselves a wonderful weekend here on BFM 89.9.
Enterprise BizBytes was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.